And thank my friend Elder Raymond, friend brother Steve. Yeah, I know some people. Brother Linval. Amen. Sometimes you see things a certain way. For example, a few months ago, I don't know if you guys saw the verdict in regards to the postal worker and the religious liberty case that was brought. He's a postal worker in Tennessee and he lost his job because Postal Service and Amazon joined together. And so now they have to deliver packages on Sundays. So he decided that he's not going to work on Sundays. And so eventually he had to quit, or else he was going to be fired. So he sued the Postal Service and he won the case. And I thought it was a good thing. And I said to my wife, "Oh, the guy won the case." And she said, "Well, he won because of who the judges are or who is in power." So basically, what she's saying that if the power structure changed, maybe he would not have gotten that result. And then I was asking myself, what if Jesus wanted him not to have that job anymore? But he still went ahead and sued to keep the job. Because sometimes we go in a certain direction. Not because Jesus wants us to go in that direction, but because we see that direction as being favorable to us. And so I question it and I question myself. And I find myself questioning myself more often recently, especially after we dropped off our oldest son at school. I question myself on the way back. I'm saying, is he prepared? Did we do what we were supposed to do as parents in the Lord? Or we did it according to how we think? And it's been on my mind over and over. Because we all sometimes go on our own tangent. Pastors do it, leaders do it, parents do it. Man, woman, well, everyone. Nowadays, you got to be careful to say man, woman, because some people don't think there's a difference. Talk about the way that seems right. And so, the scripture came up in my mind. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And this same scripture is repeated in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Same exact scripture. I don't know why the Lord sees it fit to repeat it, but it's a very, very important scripture. It means a lot. The way that seems right to a man, what is end thereof. It's the way of death. Father, we just want to thank you for your mercies. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for not treating us as we deserve, but with loving kindness and tender mercies, you have drawn us all unto you. So as this presentation go forward, dear Lord, I pray that your spirit will rest and abide and lead. In Jesus' name, amen. So Solomon's wisdom wrote this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man. Proverbs often speak of the way, the path of life a man or a woman walks upon. Solomon observed that this way oft him seems right to a man. His part of life seems fine to him. And he wonders why God or anyone else of a different opinion or would question his judgment. Quite frankly, we are all guilty of this. The thing is, though his way seems right, it isn't right. It leads to death. Wisdom understands that what seems right to a man isn't necessarily right. It can, in fact, be the way of death. These proverbs remind us that the way of death is rarely clearly marked. No warning signs. Hey, death is over here. None of that. And when the Bible talks about death in passion, it is talking about the final death of those who choose not to walk with God. This makes plain our need for a revelation from God, all of us. We can't entirely trust our own examination and judgment. To really know we are on the way of life instead of the way of death, we need to fear the Lord and receive his wisdom, especially revealed in his word. It is imperative as Christians take this as a warning and not follow our own perverted or uninstructed conscience. Our conscience needs to be informed by God's word and ruled by God's will to make it a safe guide. When properly regulated, it is able to pronounce a verdict upon contemplated actions. And its verdict must always be obeyed. But warped by prejudice, weakened by disuse and disobedience, judicially blind in punishment and in consequences of sin, it loses all power of moral judgment and becomes inoperative of good. And then, as to the way that seems at the moment right, the end thereof is the way of death. What Solomon is showing us here, brethren, is that evil is very deceptive. It might promise and deliver happiness and power and the good life, which we all like. But it cannot sustain itself because it's only temporary. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 2-4, which is where this presentation is based around, it speaks of Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also priests as they were born in the priestly lineage because of their father Eli. However, despite of their priestly lineage, nothing about their behavior, their conduct, or their character was priestly. Nothing. Far from it. Matter of fact, the word of God describes them this way. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. In other words, the Bible describes the sons of Eli, who is the high priest, as sons of Belial. Belial was a pagan god. And the phrase sons of Belial refers to worthless and wicked men. This is how the Bible characterizes sons of Eli. Imagine you and I as Christians having children being characterized in this manner. Truth is though, and unfortunately, some of our children that grew up in the church fits this description. There was a significant problem because the sons of Eli were in line to succeed him as high priest. And they already functioned in the priesthood in the tabernacle of the Lord, ministering to his people. But they knew not God. Even though their father Eli knew the Lord, that knowledge was not passed on genetically to his sons. And it is the same with us. They had to personally know the Lord for themselves, but they never did. During the time of Hophni and Phinehas, a period of moral and spiritual decline plagued much of Israel, much like what we are seeing in our world today, especially in Western society. And unfortunately, it is happening in some of our churches. Spiritual and moral decline. In those days, the judges ruled over the Israelites. And Eli, their father, served as a high priest at the sanctuary in Shiloh. And the Bible puts it this way in those days. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. The Bible says, in those days, there were no king in Israel. But every man did what which was right in his own eyes. In those days. Not in our days. In those days. There was no king in Israel. That's what the scripture says. There was, in fact, a king in Israel. Israel should have recognized the Lord as their king. And as Christian, we should too. But since Israel rejected God as king, they were without a good and effective leadership. And so, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. A radical individualism that marks the time of the judges, much like our time. Look, brethren, look around. Look around. It's me, and me, always about me. And social media help us to magnify the me. People look to self for their guide to moral and ethics. No one can judge me. We have all heard that phrase before, haven't we? The people might genuinely felt that they did what was right, but they measured it by their own eyes. Hence the dilemma. There is a way that seems right to a man. I thought about this in the backdrop, as I said, of taking our son to college. And the questions that plagued my mind on my way back from dropping him off. Questions like, did we raise him right in the Lord? Or did we raise him in the way that seems right according to the world system, the flesh? Will he be able to navigate the world in the right way? Or in the way that seems right to him? Did we drop the ball? Or did we do a good job? That's the question. Oftentimes, as parents or individuals, we don't ask ourselves these questions. We don't question ourselves because we believe we are the best parents. We believe we are the best persons. None of us thinks we are bad people, even though we all behave badly from sometimes. And for some Christians, more often than not, unfortunately. But was Eli that of a bad parent? Or that of a bad person? Why his sons turned out the way they did? As Christians, we read these scriptures and lament on the life of those we read about. But are we acting any different? That's a question. Or do we do what seems right to us? Like in the way we raise our children. Do we correct them in the Lord when they misbehave? Or do we let them do as they please? Like in the way we choose our spouses, more on looks and feelings rather than on character, work ethic, or Christian values. In the way we choose our jobs, more on prestige and pay rather than, is this the place where God wants me to work? A lot of things we do in our lives as Christians can fall into the category of what seems right to us. And I'm guilty of that. I am guilty of that. This mindset is a dangerous mindset for a Christian to have. And it's dangerous because it has a spillover effect in the church, because we make up the church. We can clearly see, it in the ways in which issues are resolved amongst members. Are we forgiving to each other? Are we patient with each other? Are we forbearing with each other? Do we exercise humility with each other? Is the fruit of the Spirit the first thing that shines through us when difficulty arose? When there is trouble, do we seek the answer from the Lord as a group through fasting and prayer? Being that we are one in the body of Christ, of the same Spirit? Or do we walk away from the church, pulling other members with us? Causing a separation in the house of the Lord. Because make no mistake, brethren, based on what action is taken in these circumstances, it simply means that someone is doing what is right in their own eyes. Our action will always indicate to us and to those around us in no uncertain terms, that we are either walking under the banner of Prince Emmanuel or under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. This, however, was a recurring issue with the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests in the sanctuary of the Lord. The problem is they did what pleases them. That's what they do, whatever pleases them. Is any of us guilty of that? We ain't got to answer. 1 Samuel 2:22 says, "Now Eli was very whole, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." In other words, taking disadvantage of the women. This means that the sons of Eli were committing sexual immorality with the woman who came to worship at the tabernacle. Talking about a ancient version of a modern sex scandal amongst pastors and preachers. They were also taking the meat that was an offering to God. Before it was offered to God, they were taking raw meat. They took whatever portion of the meat they wanted, even though the priest was to get specific parts of the meat after it was offered to God and the fat was burnt off, based on instruction God gave Moses that was still relevant to them. They did not care. Even when objection was raised about their behavior, they threatened to take it by force. And these guys were priests. Think about it, brethren. But praise be to God. Praise be to God for those watchmen who objected to wrong when they see wrong and point to the right direction, even if their counsel is not followed, or even if they are ostracized for doing it. Praise God for those who stand like the brave with their face to the foes. Matter of fact, Ezekiel puts it this way. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hands. Again, verse 20, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and committed iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at Zion hands. In other words, we have an obligation to warn those around us, to speak against wicked things when we see it, even if it's not popular. Matter of fact, Ellen White puts it this way. The greatest want of the world is the want for men. Men who will not be bought nor sold. Men in their inmost souls are true and honest. Men who do not fear to call sin by the right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as a kneel to the pole. Men who will stand for right, though the heavens fall. God be praised for those who stand for right. Because in everything we are reminded that there is a time and a season, whether it be doing right unto God or doing what seems right in our own eyes. Be not deceived, brethren, as the Bible reminds us. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This scripture is true for us now, as it was for Hophni and Phinehas and the elders of Israel, who continue to walk in the way that seems right to them, which eventually led to the death of 30,000 Israelites during the war with the Philistines. 30,000 people perish during that war, because they follow people who are doing what seems right in their own eyes. And not what was right according to the thus saith the Lord. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Hence, the reason I question myself on how I lead my family, how I conduct myself in the church, how I conduct myself at work. Am I doing what is right, or am I doing what seems right, which is the way to death? Question yourself, brethren. You ain't got to speak out aloud. You can question in your mind. Question those that are leaders among you. Question them in the Lord, not with malicious intent. Is the people I'm following, are they following Christ? That should be the metrics. Should be the metrics. Because you see, the elders of Israel, after the first battle against the Philistines, because they had started to fight, they were losing, then they pulled back to regroup. After the first battle against the Philistines, decided the next battle would be won if they took the Ark of the Covenant with their soldiers. Way that seems right. The Ark of the Covenant, brethren, was a representation of the throne of God in Israel, kept in the most holy place of the tabernacle. The people never saw it. Only the high priest entered and saw the ark, and only once a year, the Day of Atonement. The elders wanted to take this representation of the throne of God out of the Holy of Holies and bring it into battle with them. They hoped it would give confidence that God was really with them, even though he wasn't. So, with the help of Hophni and Phinehas, the two pagan priests, because we can call them pagan priests, because their god was a pagan god. The ark was taken from the tabernacle of God into battle without God's permission. These elders were not concerned that the ark was served and carried by two priests who had forsaken the Lord. Two priests that only have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Like, unfortunately, a lot of us Christians. The ark had gone into battle before, and these priests, they knew that. They knew that the ark went into battle before. The ark went into battle in front of the marches around the city of Jericho. Joshua 6:6-8. Moses told the priests to lead the ark into battle against the Midianites, Numbers 31:16. Later, Saul brought the ark into battle, 1 Samuel 14:18, as did David. The elders rightly sense they needed God's help to win the battle. The same way we need God's help in our daily life's battles. But they were wrong in the way they sought help, just like us oftentimes. Instead of humbly repenting and seeking God, they turned to methods that God never approved of, because they only cared if it worked. They believed the presence of the ark would make God work for them, just like how some of us believe that God worked for us. Their idea was that God would be forced to fight for them. If he was not willing to do it for their sake, he would do it for his honor's sake. In other words, brethren, They were trying to blackmail God, just like some of us sometimes blackmail God in the way we preach, in the way we pray, in the way we conduct ourselves. Blackmail God. Taking the Ark of the Covenant hostage to force God's hands. On the face of it, though, on the face of it, it seemed like a brilliant plan. With the Ark of the Covenant, none of them thought they would lose the battle. The problem is they were looking to the Ark to save them, and not the Lord. Some of us look to the church to save us, and not Jesus. Wrong move, misguided. Instead of attempting to get right with God, these Israelites set about devising superstitious means of securing the victory over their foes. In this respect, most of us has imitated them, if we are honest with ourselves. We think of 1,000 inventions, but we neglect the one thing most needful. We forget the main matter, which is to involve God in our daily life and to seek to do his will by the faith in Christ Jesus. There are plenty of Christians, like those elders, who, when they find themselves beaten by the world and the devil, puzzle their brains to invent all sorts of reasons for God's smiting, except the true one, their own departure from him. Because they follow the way that seems right in their own eyes. Instead, we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways, we should acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Unfortunately, just like those leaders that choose to go the way that seems right to them without inquiring of the Lord, there are some in the church that do likewise. They look the part, they act the part, they speak the part. Some of us were even born into the part, just like Hophni and Phineas. But as we see, their end thereof was the way of death. Brethren, truth is, and I'm not a long preacher, I believe you all get the point. Truth is, brothers and sisters, your job and my job as parents, as husbands, as wives, as leaders in the church, as members of the church, as members in your communities or in the workplace, is that by the grace of God, we do right and not what seems right in our own eyes. Eli got the news. One of the soldiers escaped, came back to give news. And when Eli got the news, Brother Martel, something that maybe I would think is unusual, but when you look at the picture, it is not unusual. He was told that his sons were killed. But he was still alive. When he heard the news, his two sons were dead. But as soon as he heard that the ark was taken, he knew exactly what it meant for everyone. But it didn't stop there. Phineas had a wife. She too got the news. Husband dead, brother-in-law dead, father-in-law dead. Was still alive, baby was still in her stomach. But as soon as she heard that the ark was taken, she knew exactly what it meant. She immediately gave birth. Then she died after. Named her son Ichabod, because the glory of the Lord has departed. Is the glory of the Lord still in your life? Is the glory of the Lord in my life? Is the glory of the Lord in the church? Now we make up the church. And if the glory of the Lord is not in your life as members, how can the glory of the Lord be in the church? In society nowadays, and we know that society have a huge impact on us as Christians. It shouldn't. It should be the other way around. You look around, brethren, and there is movements. Everybody start a movement nowadays. You have the abortion rights champions. You have the anti-abortion champions. You have the LGBT alphabet group. You have gun rights. And a lot of us as Christians support a lot of these things. Some of us send money. Some of us use our time or resources. And I ask myself, who are the leaders behind these things? Who are we following? Because Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. So that would lead me to believe, me, I'm talking about me, I should not be following anyone as a Christian, anyone or anything that is not following Christ. And so be careful, brethren, because a lot of these groups, and I'm not saying that they're bad, but are they doing what is right? Or are they doing what seems right based on their beliefs? Because as Christians, we have to remember, just like Hophni and Phineas and those elders that lead 30,000 people to their death. And Philippians put it this way, when it says, when you follow those people, their end is destruction. Because their gods is in their bellies. And if you look around, a lot of these groups are glorying in their shame, because they mine earthly things. As Christians, our conversation is supposed to be where? There is a way that seems right unto a man, but its end thereof is the way of death. Choose ye this day, brethren, whom you will serve, and whose way you will follow. As for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. Amen. Well, happy Sabbath, brethren.
Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn.